Hey, good morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors. That's right. And you can talk, too. We are here. Everybody is battening down the hatches because of a tropical storm headed our way, a storm by the name of Sandy. And for those of you who are boating, I would strongly advise you decide not to go out tomorrow or Monday or maybe even Tuesday till the storm has passed. And the Department of Natural Resources feels the same way. They did send out a warning yesterday. And let's see if I can find it here. Yes, the boaters are urged to plan ahead for Hurricane Sandy. Planning is the key to minimize injury and loss of life. Boaters should not be on the water when a storm hits and should make plans in advance to dock more. How do you spell more? Is there an E on the end of more? I don't know. There is in this one. Or haul their boats when deciding on storm preparation plans. Boaters must consider the size, type, and location of their vessel. Some places may not offer protection from high winds or tides. Here are some things to think about. Remove valuable equipment to protect it from damage. Consider removing the boat from the water and tying it down to prevent it being damaged by storm surge or winds. Small, open boats can be filled with water to lessen the effect of the wind. Boats that remain in the water should be moored in safe areas or berths with lines doubled and high on pilings. Remember, storm surges can cause tides to rise over the pilings. Install fenders to protect boats from pilings, piers, or other vessels. Ensure that bilge pumps work properly and that the batteries that run them are fully charged. Seal all openings to make the vessel watertight. Collect all documents, including insurance policies, and take photographs of the boat and equipment. Do not stay aboard boats during storms. Safeguard human life. Natural Resources Police reminds boaters that advanced planning can save property and lives. These actions should take place at least 48 to 72 hours prior to the storm to accommodate unforeseen problems. That would be today. During the storm, people should stay away from waterways and stay in safe shelters. Citizens should remember that storm conditions may delay or prevent response from emergency personnel. There you go. Words well worth listening to. 410-WCBM-680 is our phone number, 1-800-WCBM-680. Numerically translated, that's 410-922-6680. 1-800-922-6680. Today is the final Saturday for the first leg of our muzzleloader drawing. We are giving away a CVA Wolf muzzleloader from the fine folks at CVA, Connecticut Valley Arms, Black Powder Incorporated, BPI Guns. Those folks are very generous and have been for the past several years. And you could win a muzzleloader at the end of today's show when we draw the names. The preparations have been made. The tickets have been matched to the names. We will be randomly drawing a numbered ticket at the end of the show. If that number on the ticket matches the coordinating number to your name on the sheet, the drawing sheet that we've recorded over the past several weeks, you will win. We are working on some secondary prizes still. Just been busy and haven't confirmed all of it, but we will draw a couple runner-up tickets just as well so that you can receive something from one of our sponsors. The rules are you call the radio show, you give our producer your name and phone number, and his name is Brian. Give Brian your phone number. He will record your name and phone number. Then you go on the air and you simply say, hi, thank you for putting me in the contest. Put me in the contest. Hey, I'm up at 5 in the morning to enter your stupid contest. Whatever you want to say on the air, you're welcome to do that within bounds. And we will be more than glad to accept your call and enter you in the contest given those conditions. Name, phone number, go on the air. Real simple. All right, that's how we do it. Let's talk to Ken in Street, Maryland. Good morning, Ken. How are you?
Hello, Alan.
Go ahead, Ken.
Hey, this is me just doing what you just described. I just got up and I'm calling to enter your contest, which I did with Mr. Brian.
You did? Okay. We're good.
And I unfortunately, here in the street, we don't get too many AM stations.
Yep.
So what I do is I check your podcast out during my lunch shift.
Yeah.
And I sit and eat my lunch with you every day.
Oh, that's great. I sure appreciate that. Does it make sense? Because sometimes in, 5 o'clock in the morning, I don't feel like I'm making sense. I'm just wondering, at the end of the day, does the show make sense?
Yeah. And
okay.
I hear the frustration at times when, especially during the first hour, people don't call.
Yeah, they're busy.
Sleeping or going to their hunting spot.
Well, they're going hunting, and they don't, they're chatting. They don't have time to call me because they just like listening to me, and so we bribe them by giving away a muzzleloader.
Well, I want to thank you for all you do, and we surely appreciate it, and we love listening to you, and the show is very informative.
Ken, that it was sufficient just to say hi. We appreciate it. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. Okay.
Bring on the praise. More praise is fine. That's good. No problem.
Okay. Well, have a good day, and thanks again.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Have
bye
a good bye. One.
Bye-bye.
There goes Ken in Street. How about that? That's all you have to do is that. So, gotta love it. We went deer hunting last Saturday, Jacob and I, my grandson. Jacob is 12. And Jacob got his first buck last year, which was tremendous. Tremendous for me. It was a very, very good experience for him and for me. And it was a lot of fun. And I was glad to be in the stand with him when he got his first deer, which happened to be a really nice 6-point buck. So, let's see. We went out on Saturday. And, of course, we missed, because I was here, we missed the very early part of the deer movement. There wasn't a lot going on, but I'm not a big person that baits deer with corn, but my hunting coordinator that runs the hunt up there in Cecil County, he's all right with that. He's fine with that, and he does what he wants to do, and that's good. So he had not much, but a little pile of corn out, and I said, I had been there on Thursday, and the deer had come in right at the edge of dark on the corn. And I said to Jacob, I said, okay, we're going to sit here a while. I said, if it works like it did the other day, I said, the deer will come in right there on the corn pile, and they'll be standing broadside to you, and you can take a shot. And he said, all right, that's fine. And we also have mineral, we have a wild mineral plot up there. We have some food, some cameras and that type of thing. So anyway. We're sitting there, and about an hour before dark, Jake says, there's a doe. I said, all right, if you want to take it, go ahead and take it. It was a big deer, and it was certainly well worthwhile. So Jake shot, the deer ran. Of course, I'm trying to watch through the binoculars. When the muzzleloader went off, a cloud of white smoke just filled the lenses of the binoculars. I couldn't see a thing. I really couldn't see anything. So I watched the deer run off and said, okay. Now, I said, let's give it a minute or two and then we'll go look. So we did. Got down and looked and found no hair, no blood at the scene. I said, Jake, I said, there's no hair, there's no blood, but don't worry. I said, do you think you hit the deer? Yes, I think I hit the deer. All right. Well, back and forth we went, down through the woods. We saw deer running. We saw, a couple more deer headed out, and I kind of wondered whether or not we actually had a deer down. There was no blood. Followed the leaves, and still no blood, no blood trail. So that's fine. I said, Jake, I'm not sure. So back we went again, back to the beginning, and back again, and back the third time. He said, why do you keep going back? I said, I keep going back looking for more stuff. What are you looking for? I'm looking for hair. I'm looking for blood. I'm looking for a sign that this deer was struck. And I said, I'm not seeing it. I said, so the final time we went back, I looked and I said, ah, found the furrow in the ground. I said, Jacob, you shot under this deer. I said, this furrow of the bullet, wouldn't, your bullet's in here. I said, this wouldn't be here if you'd have struck this deer. Okay. I said, you missed clean. I said, we kind of figured that when we saw him in a runoff way down in the woods with no blood, no hair, no trail. I said, so congratulations, it was a clean miss. What do you mean? I said, well, you don't have a wounded deer. We're not tracking a wounded deer. We're not tracking anything. You've got a complete miss. And he was good with that. So that's what happened. Let's talk to Donald in Baltimore. Good morning, Donald. What?
The polluted Chesapeake Bay, because that upper bay water, it's really bad.
Donald, when did you just start talking? Just now when I said your name?
Huh? No, I've been talking. Did you get me?
I got you now. I don't know how long you've been talking, but it sounds like I came in the middle of a sentence there.
I was talking to you about the rock I caught.
Well, okay, tell us about the rock you caught, because I think you might have been talking to yourself. But that's okay.
I caught 17 rock.
All right.
I mean, the prettier they were, the smaller they were, the prettier they were.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and then I caught two keepers. An 18-incher and a 22-incher.
Right.
They both had sores. They looked like sharks had a hold of them.
Okay,
I
so?
I mean, they was bleeding in my boot. That's how bad they were.
Yeah.
I fished Pleasure Island, Miller's Island, Hart Island, the upper section.
Yeah.
That water is so polluted up there.
Well, I'm not sure.
I'm not going to fish the upper bay no more. I mean, I've had it. I mean, instead of calling that the beautiful Chesapeake Bay,
yeah,
they ought to call it the polluted Chesapeake Bay.
Oh, now that part we heard, yeah. Okay, all right, yeah.
And let the people know what's really going on.
Yeah, well, I can tell you what's really going on if you really want to listen to me, but it sounds like you've got your own opinion, so. But that's okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear about those fish, but, you know, it is what it is, and we have to deal with this little problem called mycobacteria.
It's a little problem, and it's large.
Yeah, okay. Hey, Donald, are you in the contest?
Oh, yeah. Do you know anything about why around where I live, all the oak trees are dying?
All the oak trees are dying?
Yeah.
No,
in fact, I got one great big pin oak in my yard. It's all right.
Yeah, the one in your yard's okay.
Uh-huh. They got these big oaks, and it's four of them up there.
Where's this at?
Alive.
Where's this at?
The three's dying.
Hey, Donald, where is this?
In Baltimore City.
Baltimore City. Is there any water getting in there? Any kind of bay water, anything getting in there?
No.
All right.
No, I'm right in the city. No. In fact, I'm around a county line, tell you the truth.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, another thing, I'm 81 years old. I still fish and hunt, and I don't just go out there to kill something. I go out there and take things in. You know, I don't see no more flocks of blue jays anymore, or the swallowtail butterflies, or the monarch butterflies.
Hmm.
They're not migrating like they used to.
Hmm.
And the blue jays, when I take the dogs for a walk, I see flocks of them.
Yeah.
The other day I saw one blue jay, and you can hear that squawking noise they make.
Yeah.
Then I got my pin oak here in front of my house.
Mm-hmm.
They come back. I had one in there the other day. He was chewing on some nuts.
Yeah.
But they ain't looking too good.
Ah, well, you know, Donald, that's a shame. I mean, I know the Blue Jays, you know, there's a lot in Toronto, and St. Louis has some Cardinals, but I see lots of blue jays where I'm in the woods a lot. Yeah, lots of blue jays. Yeah, yeah. So, all right, buddy. Hey, Donald. Thanks for getting that off your chest. We appreciate that. All that. We appreciate you know everything dying around you. That's you know.
Well, no, when I go fishing, I really enjoy myself.
Just
don't go to catch fish or shoot a squirrel.
No.
We're trying to get a deer.
No, you're out there for the. You're out there for the over.
I really enjoy myself.
Yeah, you got to enjoy yourself. All right, buddy.
I do.
Thanks for the call.
Well, hey,
what?
I've been listening to you for quite a while.
Yeah.
The last The first time I heard you, we was going to Deer Creek trout fishing, and you come up and you says, the trout fishing season, it's you can't go trout fishing.
Right.
We said, what in the world's going on? I mean, we're all the way up to Deer Creek up in Harford County.
Yeah.
There was three of us.
Yeah.
In fact, I was still working then.
Yeah.
I've been retired for 14 years.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, man, so what are we going to do? You can't go trout fish. We're all the way up here. And guess what?
I don't know.
April Fool. You remember that one?
Yeah, I do. I was evil back then.
We started laughing. We couldn't stop laughing. Man, he got us that time.
Yeah, I gotta love it. All right, brother, appreciate the call. Gotta move on. Thank you. Donald and Melody in Dundalk. Good morning, Melody. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. How are you?
I'm great. What's going on?
I'm just loving life.
Good.
I just want to pass a tip on to your listeners. I'm having a real bad problem down here with raccoons.
Oh, that's always a problem, yeah.
But that's okay. I just want to let your listeners know that instead of buying traps, you can go to the fire department and they will lend you a trap.
Right.
So it's free.
Okay, well, that's good.
Well, actually, if you want to come down to my camp right now, I have one sitting next to my tent in a trap.
A raccoon in a trap?
Oh, yeah. You can have his pelts if you want it.
No. Thank you. No, that...
Anyway, I know your listener's calling about raccoons from time to time.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to let them know that the fire department will lend you a trap so you can get rid of those bad boys.
Yeah, well, that works. Now, what are you going to do with that raccoon?
I'm going to take him down Merritt Park and release him tomorrow.
Well, Melody, don't let the Natural Resources Police know that, because a raccoon is a member of the a raccoon is what they call a vector species, which a rabies vector species, which means there's five critters that are members of that exclusive family. Raccoons are one. Beavers, well, skunks, foxes.
Well,
and I believe coyotes. But Melody, here's the situation. If you release that raccoon, you're in violation of the law. What has to happen is that it has to either be released on premises or euthanized, according to the law. But
well,
you do yeah, what you do.
I'm
what you
having a problem down here bad with raccoons. They're tearing my tent up big time.
No, I understand.
Well, I could bring them to your house.
No, you can't. I know how to get rid of them at my house. So I do use the trap, but I make sure they're euthanized quickly. So
I know Mike told me to euthanize them and take the pelts and sell them, but I just don't have the heart to do that.
No, the pelt thing that's not any good till trapping season starts. You know, the pelts don't get good till 1st of December, but
well,
yeah.
A girl in a tent has got to do what she's got to do.
You got to do what you got to do. Exactly.
Well, Alan, it was great talking to you again.
All right, Melody. Well, you have, I'm sorry to hear about your raccoon problem there. And, you know, there is a solution. But, Anna, thank you for the tip on the fire department helping you out. So.
All right, Alan.
Thanks.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Jeff, Baltimore. How are you, Jeff?
All right. Good morning, yourself.
What's up? Good. I'm good.
Great. I hadn't called for a while. Used to call a few months back, work a late-night job.
I remember, sure. Yeah.
I joined the muzzle loader contest. I thank you for having that.
Okay, you're welcome.
See how that goes. My phone might be going a little dead soon, so I wanted to ask you a question and maybe listen, if that's okay.
Sure, sure.
In the realm of things. I'm interested in feel drawn towards bow hunting or at least starting with doing some target shooting and some compound bow study and on
right.
The internet. And I wonder if you can just kind of give me an outline, because obviously we're in the hunting season now, but would probably have to wait till next year at least.
Yeah.
I've never hunted before. And,
well, what I would recommend for you to do, is, if you want to get into archery and bow hunting, is to go talk to a couple of dealers, not just one, but several. And see what they offer, and you'll get an idea of prices. You'll get an idea of what you need. If archery, if you're going to be using a vertical bow, so to speak, a compound bow, what they're going to want to do is measure you to see what your draw length is, to see how you could see what poundage of bow you're capable of utilizing. You know, and that type of thing. Now, I wouldn't start out too strong. If you're a young, healthy guy and your shoulders are good and everything is working for you, then, you know, you can go to a 55 to 60 pound bow, which is more than sufficient for anything you need here in Maryland. I know guys that are using, because of injury and that type of thing, they're using 45 pound bows, 50 pound bows, and doing a great job. But that being said, you want to get an explanation of prices and things like that. Now, here's the key. Some of those guys are more than generous when it comes to tax time and end of the season and that type of thing. And what you need to do is figure out if you can wait till, you know, January, February, then go in and go talk to those guys again and say, hey, look, back in the hunting season, this bow was, you know, $650. Is there any way you could, you know, the price could be lower now? And it's, you know, it'll be last year's bow, but it's the latest and greatest till next year's bow comes out, which usually doesn't change much. So that's one tip as far as buying a bow. But go out and do your research. Your draw length and your pull weight are the two important things. How much weight can you pull? And do not be influenced by your buddies that say, oh, I pull a 70-pound bow or I pull a 65-pound bow. A lot of people can't, and it's not overly necessary. I'm not sure what those guys are trying to do. But that being said, look, you know, do your research on the internet if you like. Don't be influenced by a dealer. Take what you like as comfortable. And it may not be the bow that is advertised the most. It may be a bow that's relatively new to the market. I know guys that have been out shooting bows, and they go to a bow shop, and they'll go, what's that brand? And the guy will say, oh, that's a so-and-so. And they try that, and they go, man, that's a smooth bow. That's a great bow. So, you know, smooth, ease of draw, that type of thing is, and then of course the price is what you got to consider too. But don't over buy it as far as weight, sure. And make sure it absolutely fits you. Get measured several times by several different dealers, and comparison shop. That's what I do.
That's something they're willing to do. Just, you know.
Yeah, I say, look, I'm thinking about a bow. Tell me what I need, and they'll measure you, and you'll go from there.
And so there's the buying of the bow, and obviously there's practicing shooting it. As far as the hunting and any regulations or take classes or maybe even getting a mentor, because I've never hunted, never.
Well, you definitely need a hunter safety education course. And there is the National Bow Hunters Education Course, which is available as well here in Maryland. And if you're already online, you can already look at hunter education, and you want to take that bow hunters course because it's invaluable. It's invaluable for, you know, just basic information, and then of course they walk you through the whole thing as far as you know, shooting a bow and things like that. So I'm thinking that would probably be good for you. Okay.
All right, and that generally may be a good idea. Can't hurt to maybe go with somebody that's done before, especially when it comes to the part that I'm a little bit hesitant about, the butchering part of the whole act.
Oh, the field dressing and that type of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always best to go with somebody that knows what they're doing on that one, so.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Well, and, you know, call back anytime. You got plenty of time to to get ready for next year, but the key is practice, so.
Yeah.
All right?
All right, thanks, sir.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Yeah.
Hey, we got to take a short break. Let me tell you about Clyde's Sports Shop. Clyde's is at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. And, you know, we just talked about bows there. Clyde's a great place to start with some of the brands that they carry. It's Parker Bows and the Quest G5 by Diamond, which is made by a company called Bowtech. And then they've got the Parker and the Coda Bow crossbows as well. But if you're getting ready for waterfowl season or you're getting ready for deer season, you might want to check out Clyde's. I actually talked to Lawrence the other day. He helped me with a gunsmithing problem, and he's working on a stock for me as well. So they do have complete gunsmithing services. They'll mount your scope and bore sight it for you, get it ready to go to the range. Complete gunsmithing services, as I mentioned, and they've got all the accessories. You need to stop in if you're a hunter. Clyde Sports Shop, as again, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. The phone number is 410-242-6108, 242-6108. The website, www.clydesports.com. Big Buck Scents Cold Scent has a fast-growing reputation for attracting big Maryland bucks.
Several friends of mine have used cold scent with great results. Big Bucks. Maryland's Eastern Shore is home to Big Buck scents. Big Buck cold scent is different than those mass-produced bottles you see on every shelf. First, it's one deer to one bottle. That's a 4-ounce bottle, too. Plenty for the rut. Now, the deer urine is collected and immediately refrigerated. It's kept cold, and the vital elements will not break down and become less attractive. Trust me, there's a science behind all this. Big Buck Scents arrives at your local dealer cold in its own refrigerator. You keep it cold till you use it, and you will see the results. Try cold scent, vanilla bean, doe in heat, dominant buck, or doe pea in the 4-ounce bottle. For more information, visit the website bigbuckscents.com or visit your local dealer. Ask for and use cold scent by Big Buck Scents. Hey, Sam's Deer Processing. You know, the family continues the great tradition started by Sam Poole, the founder, and the operation is going strong out there in Finksburg. Now, Sam's Deer Processing has cut over 40,000 deer, and they can expertly skin, custom cut, wrap, label, and freeze your deer to your specifications. They're experts in hanging that deer until it's perfectly ready to cut and aging it to perfection. Now, they do have all the venison specialties. They got jerky and chipped deer and sausage and kielbasa and bologna and smoked deer hams and patties and snack sticks and hot dogs. A buddy of mine really likes the hot dogs. Pastrami and deer bacon, and they hold the recipe for Maryland's most popular deer bologna. That's Sam's Deer Processing. They're located at 2060 Bollinger Mill Road. That's in Finksburg, Maryland, right off Route 32 there, between Westminster and Eldersburg. So why not stop by and do what I do? Go to Sam's Deer Processing to have them cut your deer. And they process all big game. They'll take care of smoking the goose breast for you right in with the deer hams. And you can make sure that your deer's done right. At Sam's Deer Processing, that phone number is 410-795-4670. And don't forget, if you got that big buck and you're worried about skinning that that cape out for the taxidermist, they can handle that too. That's Sam's Deer Processing, 410-795-4670.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
It's the Doe Harvest Challenge. Deer hunters, by legally harvesting a doe and donating the meat, you not only feed hungry people in Maryland and please local farmers by reducing crop damage, now you could win valuable prize packages this season. Doe Harvest Challenge offers $5,500 in prizes with 18 chances to win. This contest is limited to 13 counties. If you hunt in Carroll, Frederick, Anne Arundel, Calvert, Charles, St. Mary's, or Prince George's counties, or in Queen Anne's, Kent, Caroline, Talbot, Dorchester, Wicomico counties on the shore, and you harvest a doe, all you have to do is donate your deer through a participating FHFH deer processor. Every 3 weeks, an up to $300 winner will be drawn in each of the three regions, plus a $500 grand prize package to one lucky hunter in each region. Participating deer processors have entry cards to fill out in their shops. You can enter every doe you donate within the Region B bag limits all season long. The 2012 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Farm Bureau, Maryland Grain Producers Utilization Board, the Maryland Soybean Board, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, contact the Maryland Farm Bureau, 410-922-3426.
Unique analysis on local, national, and international developments on the Tom Marr Show, weekdays 9 to noon on Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
Cut them all, Jack. Let's talk to Charles in Baltimore. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning. I'd like to join the contest today.
Oh, very good. You are in the contest. Yes, sir.
I have two little stories to tell you, and your show just stirs up all my old memories.
I'm glad to hear that.
I caught a raccoon. I just listened to that raccoon story, and I caught a raccoon on driving from Harrison, Maine, to Crystal Lake, and I caught this raccoon, and this raccoon was really a little baby, and it took me for its mother, and it followed me everywhere, even went swimming with me, and I went to the Crystal Lake, which has the best trout I've ever eaten, and that was in the 40s.
Wow.
I've never forgotten it. You eat it on the beach with a big hunk of butter.
Oh.
It was just melted in your mouth.
Oh, you're not kidding.
So I decided to write a story on the dam that they're building on the Yangtze River, and I wrote a very long critique on the dam, which I was against. On the Yangtze River, and I wrote it for President Zemin at the time because he heard about me writing about the Aswan Dam.
Yes.
And all the changes that have taken in the water. And the Yangtze River, Chinese only like bony fish, and I decided I was going to eat one. And there are hundreds of Chinese along the Yangtze River fishing with nets. They're like cotton nets. They don't have poles or anything
right.
Like that. And they told me all I needed was a pole, a stick, and a string, and a hook. And so I went along there. I never caught any. I didn't see any fish along the Yangtze. And I was very disappointed that I couldn't catch one. But I wrote a very derogatory critique on the Yangtze River because it's being built over faults in the tectonic plates. And I was wondering how this heavy water, which is 500 feet deep, would affect the tectonic plates. And I never caught any. I didn't even see any.
Wow.
And when I went down, I spent a week on the Yangtze River, and they're very noted for birds. And I only saw three birds, and they were sitting on a cow on his back, and I never saw any of those either.
Wow.
So I wrote about all these ecological changes, and the water from the China Sea is moving up the Yangtze River, making all the fish that were fresh fish, they're now making salty fish.
Mm.
And I was very disappointed in that. However, your show is one of the great moments of my life. I'm old now, and I don't do very much. And
Well, Charles, that picture,
your voice and your time.
That picture of you between the two headhunters that
they
you
were
sent.
Cannibals.
Okay, cannibals from...
That's the Sepik River in New Guinea.
New Guinea, yes, Papua New Guinea. I had a friend, actually the fellow that mentored me when I was a teenager, who mentored me in the art of rabbit hunting, had served in New Guinea in World War II. And he said, that is a wild place. No question about it.
To those men that you have a picture of, 800 people. I saw the skulls in their huts. They were cannibals.
Yes, they were. Unreal, buddy. Unreal. But
Charles,
every time you call, you simply confirm the fact that you are indeed the most interesting man in the world.
Well, thank you very much for that compliment.
Yes, indeed. And I assume you don't watch much television, but there is a commercial that is portrayed by an actor for a beer company, and I believe it's a Mexican beer called Dos Equis, and he is billed as the most interesting man in the world. And when I saw that picture of you, I immediately thought of that commercial, because he is portrayed as doing, daredevil things and just being a world traveler of some renown. And I know that guy, and his name's Charles in Baltimore.
Well, I was thinking about dragging out some of my pictures. I have over 10,000 pictures like the one you saw.
Well.
And one of them is me crossing the Gobi Desert on a Bactrian. And another one I have crossing the Sahara Desert from Egypt to Morocco on a dromedary.
Unreal.
That's a trip I met many dignitaries. That's one of the most interesting trips in the world because it has all the Roman ruins.
Wow.
And I blame Patton for that because I wanted to see Carthage, and which he thought he was reincarnated for living in Carthage. But there's nothing there. It's all been destroyed.
Charles, thank you for the call, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for your show.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There goes Charles. Let's talk to Justin in Sudlersville. Follow that one, Justin.
Hi.
Good. How are you?
Not too bad.
What's up?
I'm calling about public land in Howard County, if you know any much about it.
A little bit.
What was that? I'm sorry.
I said I know a little bit about public land in Howard County. There's not much of it.
Yeah, and I have property on the eastern shore in Sudlersville.
Right.
And I live in Ellicott City.
Right.
And, I'm getting tired of making the hour, 45-minute drive.
Well, what you might want to do, Justin, is contact the folks at the Howard County Recreation Parks Division over there. They do have a deer hunting program in Howard County. As a matter of fact, I participated in one of those hunts on Thursday at one of those Howard County parks. What's that?
One of my friends did as well.
Yeah. Well, all right. So you know about the program. As far as public land, there's not a lot available there. There's a little bit. But I participated this past week in Montgomery County and in Howard County on two consecutive days. And Wednesday I was in Montgomery County, there south of Damascus in that park. And then on Thursday I was in Ellicott City, Ellicott City. I was in Ellicott City hunting as well. So it's a great opportunity. There's lots of deer out there. It's a management hunt. There are rules and regulations like there are with any hunting situation.
Oh, yeah.
But it is close to home, and you get in the drawing and you take your chances with the number of days, but it's a nice experience. Let's put it that way.
So do you know about if like the hunting's any good on the public land out there at all?
As far as the hunting programs are concerned,
just with the quality of deer.
Well, you've got the Patuxent Wildlife Management Area out there. And if you get in there, do your homework and get in deep into that, explore it, walk it. I've hunted that for turkeys. There's lots of deer there, but there's lots of people there too, of course, on the weekends. During the middle of the week, it's not as bad. But yes, that area is pretty good, as a matter of fact. It's a big property, and there's a fair amount of deer out there. But that would be one place I could recommend it. And that's south of 70 there, not far out. I'm not sure what the exit is, but it's a pretty good piece of property out there. And you could go out and explore that and just walk it, and enjoy yourself and see what you can come up with.
All right.
The hunting is good there. And then the other possibility out there is the WSSC, which also has a public hunting program. That's the sanitary Washington Suburban Sanitary Commission, whatever that is.
Never heard of that one.
Well, there's a lot of land south of 70 that they hunt as well, and you could check that out.
Okay.
And that's like Rocky Gorge, Rocky Gap. The same people that cover those areas are very big into deer hunting. Okay.
When I was younger, I used to go to Rocky Gap and camp every year with my
Rocky Gorge is what I meant to say. If I said Rocky Gap, I apologize. Rocky Gorge and Tridelphia.
Okay.
All right.
And also Moore, the word Moore does have an E at the end.
Okay. I didn't know. Thank you very much for checking that out.
No problem.
All right, sir. Thank you. Have a good day. All righty. Bye-bye. Let's talk to Claude in Baltimore. Good morning, Claude. How are you?
How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. What's up? I'm sorry.
Just what I like to say about a hurricane, because I volunteer my services in the fire department, and we try to help people.
Yeah, go ahead.
A lot of these stupid people come out. I don't know what possesses them to come out, but they come out in these storms, and then they get jammed up. And the old saying is, turn around, don't drown, but they get stuck in these things, and we got to come rescue them. And I know my friends were in that last hurricane in Arbutus Fire Company, and they almost got wiped out because of some idiot decided to come out in this stuff. It doesn't make sense.
Hmm. Well, the problem is we save all the stupid ones.
Well, that's true.
And allow them to breed.
Well, that's true. But
you know, I mean, Darwin had a theory about that. The dumbest ones get wiped out of the gene pool because of their own stupidity. And there is actually a Darwin Award out there for people who died doing something stupid.
Well, and here's the thing, though. I mean, we got to come out there. You understand what I'm saying? And they're putting us at risk.
Why? Yeah.
Claude, I understand,
but you're dealing with people that don't know. They're in an emergency situation. They don't know what to do. They don't pay attention in life. Why would they pay attention during a storm?
Right. But here's the thing that people need to remember. Now, if your basement floods in Baltimore County, the fire department will pump it out.
Right.
But kill your power. If your base starts to flood, kill the power before it gets too bad, so we don't get zapped when we go in there.
Well, that's a good tip. That's a good tip. That's an excellent tip. And that's, you know, so if your basement floods, don't turn the light on when the firefighter's down there doing your basement, right?
Right. Kill the power.
Yeah, of course. Well, people don't want to be without their TV.
Well, I know that, but we don't want to get zapped either.
Well, you got to understand, honey, Boo Boo's on.
I never saw it. What is that about?
I have no clue. I just said that.
And you were talking about the Washington Sewer Sanitary Commission.
Yes, that's the one. That's Washington cool. Suburban Sanitary Commission.
That's it, sanitary. Hey, there you go. Washington Suburban, whatever it is. But, I mean, I don't know how bad the storm is supposed to be, but all we got to do is use some common sense. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
We don't have that anymore. You're right about that.
Well, Lefty Cray coined it. Lefty Cray said it best. Common sense isn't so common.
Well, that's true. And generators ain't so common now because you can't get one.
Yeah, that's true. So.
That's a commodity. All right, Al, look, you have a good day.
All right, Claude. Appreciate the call. Thanks for the warning. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Bye-bye. All right, 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. We do need another break, don't we? Well, let me tell you about Bay Linex at Glen Burnie. Ah, I dealt with Bobby just this week, as a matter of fact. Our creative director, Donna, and the lady that I'm dating, my girlfriend, Donna, is having her vehicle painted. And she said, what do I do about these bumpers? I said, they look pretty nasty. The car's a 2001, and it's well worth preserving. It's a very nice vehicle. So she's having the thing painted. I said, why don't you Linex the bumpers? Oh, man, that's a great idea. So body shop took the skins off. It's a plastic skin on the bumpers. They don't weigh anything. They don't cost, you know, they don't take anything to lift them. Took the plastic skins, front bumper, rear bumper, trim along the bottom of the car, trim around the fenders, the mud flap, so to speak, which came with the vehicle. Had them all sprayed with Linex material. They look terrific. They look absolutely terrific. They're going to make a great addition to that car. They're going to increase the trade-in value. They're going to prevent that bad bumper fade-out look from reoccurring. And it's going to look good. So thanks to Bobby at Bay Linex at Glen Burnie. Now, what they specialize in, of course, is truck bed spray and truck bed liners. And I've got one in this vehicle, and I had one in the last vehicle, and you can't beat them because Linex bed liners completely seal out water, preventing rust. They have a durable non-slip surface. They reduce noise, vibration. They do. Linex bed liners resist most chemicals and fuels and acids. They protect against impact. They clean up like new, and the material is environmentally friendly. That's the key thing right there. And then Linex Extra can be matched to your
the color of your vehicle. If you want your bed liner to match, it comes with Kevlar protection and that added Linex Extra. That's what that means. So do what I did. Protect your truck bed with a spray-on bed liner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Or visit them online at baylinex.com. Bobby Hawkins is the man. Here's the phone number, 410-789-0199, 789-0199, for anything that you have that needs protection on the job or in your vehicle. Find out how you can receive a $30 Bass Pro Shop gift card from Bay Linex at Glen Burnie when you mention the Outdoorsman Radio Show or Ellis Outdoors. That's 410-789-0199. The Buck Bomb is the hottest deer scent technology on the market. The Buck Bomb is pure deer urine manufactured in an aerosol spray. Now, the Buck Bomb, distributed in this molecular form, gives whitetails the opportunity to follow the scent trail to your stand site. The delivery rate and the large broadcast area cannot be duplicated with liquid, solid, or gel scents. Buck Bomb Doe Pea and Vanilla Curiosity work well any time to disguise your odor. Pick up a can of Young Buck or Acorn Rage for the bow season. For early muzzle loader, the dominant buck scent will challenge other bucks to seek you out. And now the heart of the rut through firearm season, try Doe and Estrus or Bone Collector Buck Bomb. Visit your local outdoor retailer, or you can order online at buckbomb.com. Learn more about the Buck Bomb, or you can call 866-850-6653. And fishermen, you can try the new Fish Bomb Menhaden Quick Slick from the makers of Buck Bomb. The Buck Bomb blows away traditional scent products. Hunt smart. Increase your odds with the Buck Bomb. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Don't miss the best of Rush Limbaugh on Rush's Weekend Review every Saturday afternoon from 12 to 3 on the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
CCR there for you. Let's talk to Carl in Bully's Quarters. Good morning, Carl. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. What's up?
I wanted to let you know I did something Thursday that I never did in all my years.
What's that, buddy?
I went trout fishing on fall stocking. We went up to Deer Creek. And
how'd you do?
That oldest son of mine caught his third gold trout this year.
That's cool.
That's the fourth one overall and the third one this year.
Well, he's
and
lucky.
The other boy got a real nice one. He got one about 16, 17 inches long.
Nice, nice. Very good.
Well, we caught a couple trout.
Yeah.
Hey, did you get their emails?
Nope, never got an email from you.
Not from me, from the kids.
Never got an email from anybody.
No, they emailed their pictures to you.
Nope.
Of their deer.
Nope. They're sending it to the wrong email address because it probably bounced back. My email address for all of our listeners is Ellis, my last name, E-L-L-I-S, at ellisoutdoors.com.
That's what they said. They sent it to, I thought. I don't know.
Ellis at Ellis Outdoors. They may not have put an S on the end. I don't know. But my last name is E-L-L-I-S at ellisoutdoors.com.
I'll have them re-email.
Well, you got my phone number. Tell them to call me.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, okay. Congratulations on the trout. That's for sure. Yeah, I was looking
for
the...
I caught one. Junior caught two rainbows of golden. Matt caught both his fish were really beautiful.
Yeah.
He caught about 18-inch rainbow and
that's
a,
nice.
And a golden.
Good.
And I caught just a rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
poor Jason, he got a couple bites. You could see the power bait coming out of the water with teeth marks.
but no takers, huh?
That hook.
No takers. Sometimes you got to let them chew on it a while, a power bait. So.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yep. All right, buddy. Well, I appreciate the call.
All right, man. You take it easy.
Thanks, Carl. Check that email.
I will.
All right. See ya.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com. We do have about a dozen listeners who emailed me their entry to the muzzleloader contest. They're also in the drawing, and you can get in by email, too, Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com. Here in the remaining few minutes, and we'll probably continue on with this. I definitely have a new initiative by the Maryland Legislative Sportsman's Foundation coming up after the break, talking about hunting license increases. The new white paper's just come out, and that'll be on Ellis Outdoors. Excuse me, Maryland Hunting Quarterly sometime middle next week. But the Maryland Black Bear Hunt is closed. This came in last night after 9 o'clock, almost 10 o'clock, I believe. The Maryland Department of Natural Resources closed the 2012 black bear hunting season at 9 p.m., with hunters reporting 92 bears to mandatory check stations in western Maryland. The season opened October 22nd, and met its management goal in 5 days. The average live weight of the bears was 160 pounds. John Fink of Oakland, Maryland, took the largest bear of the season, a 452-pound male. 92 bears were taken, 82 from Garrett County, 10 from Allegheny, 160-pound average weight. 67% of the bears were taken on private land. That means 33% were taken on public land. 693 hunters participated in the hunt out of 4,027 hunters that applied for a permit. The Maryland Natural Resources Police charged 22 individuals with violations during the black bear season. Charges included failure to wear fluorescent orange, hunting black bears with the aid of bait, and baiting on state-owned lands. And maybe we'll just go ahead and list those names next hour, the people that were charged. I think we probably ought to do that. Yeah, I think so. And we haven't played our little Violators theme song for a while. We'll have to get that ready, Pat. All right, folks, that draws us to the end of this hour. We'll tell you more about Sean.